Welcome to Jaws for Windows version 3, basic training tape number 3. My name is Eric Damery. This tape is tone indexed. You can fast forward to the first beep.
Please note that the topics covered on this Jaws for Windows basic training tape are applicable to both versions 3.0 and 3.2 of Jaws for Windows. Refer to your Jaws for Windows 3.2 installation and upgrade tape and the What's New section in the JAWS Help menu for information on enhancements and improvements specific to JAWS for Windows version 3.2.
The table of contents follows. Side 1, Beep 1, Windows Explorer. Beep 2, selecting files in Windows Explorer and using copy and paste features. Also, creating a new folder. Beep 3, copying files to a floppy disk from Windows Explorer. Table of contents for side 2 of tape 3. Beep 1, modifying the start menu using the taskbar properties dialog box. Beep 2, setting up Ctrl-Alt hotkeys to launch applications. Beep 3, the recycle bin on the Windows 95 and NT desktop. Beep 4, volume control settings in Windows 95 and NT. Beep 5, the calculator program. Beep 6, contact information for Henter Joyce. This section will be covering Windows Explorer. I'm running Windows 95 for this section. If you're running in Windows NT, your Explorer program is actually called Windows NT Explorer. It's located in the same place through the Start menu system, and I'll show you that. So we will do this with 95. It should be the same on NT. I've switched synthesizers for this section. I will be running a Keynote multimedia software synthesizer from Pulse Data that is speaking through the sound card, just as the DeckTalk Access 32 software synthesizer has been speaking through there. To begin with, we'll open up Windows Explorer. I've got 95 up and running and JAWS for Windows loaded. I'll go to the Start menu, Control-Escape.
Control-Esc, Start menu, Program submenu.
And I'll go into Programs by pressing Enter.
Enter, Accessories submenu.
Now, in this list, you should find Windows Explorer, or if you're running NT, look for Windows NT Explorer. I'll do an up arrow. It is alphabetical.
Windows Explorer.
And it turned out to be the last one on my list. Arrow through till you find yours, and then press Enter.
Enter. Leaving menus. Exploring dash left parent C colon right parent. List view not selected. Folder C 1 of 39.
Now, Windows Explorer is a program, one of several programs, that is used to go in and look at your file structure, allows you to create new folders. A folder is commonly referred to as a directory in the olden days, and now they call it folders. So you can see what your directory structure is and the files associated with those. You can copy things around. You can save them to different locations. You can delete items. Generally, you can explore the Windows operating system on your computer. So you will probably notice that several things are different on my computer than on your computer, and that's just fine. It's just because I've installed different programs, perhaps. To begin with, I'd like to go through and set up Windows Explorer. I've got mine set now the way it would normally be when you install Windows 95, but that isn't necessarily the best way to use it if you're running it with speech. And you can set yours up the same way I do to follow along on the tape so we'll have a similar layout. Or you can set it up in another manner. It doesn't really matter. It's a user's preference. And that's one of the nice things in Windows, is you can set things up the way you like to run them. Now, one of these preferences can be a condition of the application when it's on the screen, being either in a maximized condition or what's called a restored condition. Many times when an application comes up, it's in this restored state. And for a sighted user, this can be a big benefit because they can look behind the active application with their eyes, glancing at a window that may be open in the background. And by simply moving their mouse anywhere into that application window in the background and doing a mouse click, moves the focus there and brings it to the forefront so that they can then work on that application. Now, if you're using speech with a computer, it may not be as simple to know where the other application window might be in the background, and to go hunting around with the mouse pointer may take longer than it would to just use the keyboard to switch applications using Alt plus Tab or a shortcut key, and then not have to worry about moving around the screen with the mouse to locate something to click on it. To maximize an application, you want to open up what's called the Application Control menu. To do this, you hold down your Alt key and just tap the space bar.
Alt space, menu active, restore.
And you should hear menu active restored. Now, most applications will have this. Not all applications can be maximized. Things like the calculator cannot, but Windows Explorer can. And I'd like you to do that for this session at least. If you press down arrow,
Move grade.
It's not available right now.
Size grade.
Size is not available right now for a reason.
Minimize.
Minimize is available. Minimize simply takes the application window and reduces it so it's no longer visible. It's still available to you on the taskbar, and you can move there and choose it from the taskbar, and that would open it back up. But to minimize something doesn't really matter. Very seldom will you need to minimize an application. You can always switch between them using Alt-Tab, and the fact that you hadn't minimized something else won't matter.
Maximize grade.
Maximize, and mine says grade. It's grade because my application is already maximized. Yours may not be. In either condition, whether it is or is not grade, just press Enter on Maximized.
Enter, leaving menus, exploring dash left paren C colon right paren, list view, not selected, folder C, 1 of 39.
And your application becomes maximized. I landed on a list view, and I suspect you did the same. We'll come back and talk about the list view and the other components, but let's begin by going to the menus and look at some different things that we can change setup in Windows Explorer. Tap your Alt key to go to the menus.
Menu bar, file.
And I'll move to the right.
Edit. View.
To view. Press Enter.
Enter. Menu active. Toolbar.
The first choice I land on, it says toolbar. Yours may have said toolbar checked. There are two conditions this can be in. It's either checked or it's not checked. When it's in a checked condition, it simply means that the toolbar will be present on the screen. If it's not checked, obviously the toolbar is not present on the screen. Now, in Windows Explorer, the toolbar consists of different icons that a mouse user can utilize to make things happen, like cut and copy, different things like that. Toolbars are generally located right under the menu bar, so if you were to take your mouse up there, you would find a toolbar located underneath the menu bar. Most all items in Windows Explorer that I've encountered can be accomplished with the keyboard, and it's much quicker because I am a keyboard user. That's a much quicker way of doing it. So I leave the toolbar off the screen because there's one other thing that exists on the toolbar in Windows Explorer. It's called a combo box, which is another control that I will not go into at this point. I will explain where it is and when you might land on it once we get into the looking at list views and tree views. So I leave my toolbar unchecked. I'm going to press down arrow and look through this menu.
Status bar checked.
Status bar checked. Status bars are things located at the bottom of many applications. It's the last line in the window. And it gives information about what a particular item is, or if you're searching for files, it might tell you how many it found, different things like that. In this case, if I read my last line of window, the status line, with an insert page down, let's see what it says.
Shows or hides the status bar.
Shows or hides the status bar. See, as I move through my menus, it's updating some information on the status line. It's giving me a help message right there. That's the kind of thing you can get from status lines, and it's very good. I do leave mine checked. Press the down arrow.
Large icons.
Large icons. This item and the next three are a group of four choices. They're kind of like radio buttons, if you want to think of them that way. Only one of these four can be checked. And depending on which one you have, it changes the appearance of the list view. It changes how many columns things might be in, and the size of them. Default setting, I'll press down arrow till we hit the one that's checked.
Small icon. List checked.
List checked. List is the default setting when you install Windows Explorer, so yours may or may not be on this one right now. The disadvantage to list, as I see it using speech, is that things are in multiple columns, and you don't get details. You can't get as many details about each thing you're looking at in the list when they're in columns like this. The next item down is details. This is the one I recommend, and I'm going to press Enter, which will make the selection move from list to details. It will also close the menu at the same time, but it does make the check mark move, and I'm going to come back to the menu and show it to you. So if you want to follow along with me and set yours up the way I'm going to set mine up, press Enter on Details.
Enter, leaving menus, exploring dash left paren C colon right paren, list view, not selected, folder C file, folder 8/15.
I press the Control key to silence that. You can press the Control key at any time. I'll do an Alt and the letter V. Alt V, that's a combination that says go to the menu bar and choose the item with the underlined letter V, which happens to be view in this case.
Alt V, menu active, view folder.
So that eliminated the need for a couple of arrow keystrokes and an Enter by doing Alt V at the same time. I'll press down arrow till I get back to where it said details, and we'll see that it's checked now.
Status bar checked. Large icons. Small icons. List. Details checked.
Okay. And that's the way menus work. If there are check marks in menus, you usually moved a check mark to something or take it away from that item by pressing Enter on it. Let's keep moving down this menu.
Arrange icon submenu. Lineup icons grid. Refresh. Options dot dot dot.
Now we've seen these dot 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 indicators before. This means that we're going to go to a dialog box. Options dot 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 is a common choice found in many Microsoft Windows applications where you go in and make some other choices. Press Enter on Options.
Enter, leaving menus, Options dialog, view page, hidden files, colon, show all files, radio button checked, one of two.
It said Options dialog, view page, which indicates that I'm in a multi-page dialog box. There's a tab control. And then it told me that I was on hidden files, radio button, and it said, show all files checked. There are two choices here, either show all files, or if you press down arrow,
hidden files, colon, hide files of these types, colon, radio button checked, two of two.
It will have this other option for you to hide files, and it said hide files of these types. See, the next control is a list box of a whole bunch of different kinds of files that you can choose to have hidden. That could be a benefit if you're concerned about someone deleting certain file types on your computer. You don't want that to happen. However, it can also be a hindrance if you're using Windows Explorer to copy folders and move applications around, because if those file types are hidden and you're using copy and paste to move them, then when you think you get everything, you might not have gotten a specific file in a folder because it was a hidden file. So I leave mine on Show All Files. I'll up arrow back to it.
Hidden files, colon, show all files, radio button checked, one of two.
And I'll leave that one checked. Now hit Tab. Let's move to the next control item.
Tab, hidden files, colon, list box, not selected, hidden files.
This is the list box of hidden files, which you can go through and choose the ones you'd want.
Tab, display the full MS-DOS path in the title bar, checkbox not checked.
This is a checkbox. Display the full MS-DOS path in the title bar. I like to check this, and it's unchecked by default. The reason I want this one checked is so that at any time I can do an insert T, and no matter where I am in Windows Explorer, that title line will give me an indication of what the file or directory path was to the file I'm looking at. We'll see how this is useful later. Hit the space bar,
space,
and that should be checked now. Remember, you can review a control by holding down the Insert key and hitting Tab at the same time.
Display the full MS-DOS path in the title bar, checkbox checked.
So instead of allowing Tab to move you forward, it just rereads the current control. So that one's checked. Hit the Tab key.
Tab, hide MS-DOS file extensions or file types that are registered, checkbox not checked.
This is not checked by default, and I like to leave it that way. If you have it checked, it will hide certain extensions like .txt or .doc. And when you're looking through your list of files in Windows Explorer, those extensions would not be present. And it's much easier for me to understand what a file is or recognize the file if I can hear that extension as I'm moving through the list. Let's press the Tab key.
Tab, include description bar for right and left panes checkbox checked.
This is checked by default in Windows, and I just leave this one checked. It's not something I use.
Tab, OK button. Tab, cancel button. Tab, apply button.
And there's an apply button here. By entering on the apply button, it'll say have any changes I just made take effect.
Enter. Hidden files, colon, show all files, radio button checked, one of two.
And it puts me right back up to the top. Now, if I press enter again, the focus should have moved now to an OK button, and it'll just exit or leave this dialog box, which is what I'll do. Press enter.
Enter. List view not selected. Folder C file. Folder 8/15/97/11/12M1/39.
And we land right back in the list view on an item that's not selected. Insert F1 messages on these different types of controls are very useful, and I encourage you to listen to these messages as we move through from the list view. We're going to also look at a tree view. There's one other control that you may land on as we move called a combo box. If you press the Tab key right now, I'm going to land in the tree view, and that's where I want to get to. So if you hit a combo box, just skip by that for now. That's simply a list of your different drives, and we can access them all from the tree view anyways. So I press Tab.
Tab, tree view, left paren, C colon, right paren, open.
And I land in a tree view on something called C, and it also said it's open. The tree view has in it folders and drives. In other words, your C drive, your D drive, things like that can be looked at in a tree view. And you can see what the directory structure is underneath these items. However, you can't look at the files underneath these items in the tree view. That you use the list view for. So kind of the idea here is select the directory or folder, in this case, that you want to look at, and you can then go to the list view and see the other folders and files underneath that level. And we'll see how this works. As I move up and down, it'll tell you if something is opened or closed, and the Insert F1 message explains to you how you go about opening something that is closed, and we'll just do it and see how it works. Press the down arrow here.
Folder C closed. Folder JFW30 closed.
That's the first one I land on. If you didn't land on JFW30 or JFW30, wherever you installed your JFW, by hitting down arrow a couple of times, just press the letter J, and it will jump right to the first item that begins with a J. That's probably going to be JFW30, or down arrow till you find it. Once you're on it, do a say line, insert up arrow.
Folder JFW30 closed.
And notice it's probably closed. To open something, press a right arrow.
JFW30.
And it re-speaks. If I read the line again,
folder JFW30 open.
It now tells me that it's open. So what I've done is I've opened up this folder, and the list underneath this folder now will show the subdirectories or other folders that exist within the JFW folder.
Folder help closed.
There's a help folder. And there's obviously other folders underneath help because this one is closed. I'll press down arrow again.
Folder manuals closed.
Manuals, and it's closed, meaning there's other folders.
Folder settings closed. Insert rows button, folder tech notes closed.
So those are four folders that exist underneath JFW in your computer as well. Help, manuals, settings, and tech notes. Under each one of these, I have something called a folder called ENU. I'll look at it here on Tech Notes. I'll press right arrow to open Tech Notes.
Tech Notes.
And then I'll hit down arrow.
Folder ENU.
Folder ENU, ENU. This stands for English US, and this may be the same on your computer, or it may be something different depending on the language that you're using for your Microsoft Windows. I also noticed that it didn't say closed or open when I landed on a new. do a say line.
Folder anew.
It just says folder anew. What, this doesn't mean that the folder is empty. This just means that there are no other folders beyond this level. There are no directories underneath anew. There might be files, and in order to see those, you will have to go to the list view. Let's hit the tab key.
Tab. List view not selected text file accent.txt akb text document 1/24/95623m1/54.
And we have 54 files here, and of course, because we have details listed, we're getting a lot of information about that, the size, the type, and the last modification done on the file. Now, this is currently arranged in alphabetical order, the way my Windows Explorer is showing it, and you can hit the first letter in a list view and jump through and look at different files. So, if you are running a refreshable Braille display, there may be a text file associated with it. That would be with the same name, and you can move through the list and find that, such as Power Braille 40txt, or Braille Window, or HandyTech, or things like that. There's also going to be things in here for synthesizers, and why don't we take a look at one and see how you do this. Let's look at the one for Braille and Speak. I'll hit a B.
BNS.txt.
There's a BNS.txt file. Since it's a TXT file, that's going to be associated with a program called Notepad that comes in Windows 95 as well. And when I press Enter on this TXT file, that Notepad program will be launched, and this file will get loaded up.
Enter. BNS.txt-notepad edit.
And I land right in the edit field, and if I say line.
Braille apostrophe unspeak and type apostrophe unspeak.
And here's some text, and pressing down arrow, you can move through this.
2/12/95, blank. To use these devices from Blazy Engineering, comma, incorporated period, with JAWS as a speech. Synthesizer, comma, you must use.
Okay, so you can go down through and listen and read through these files. When you're done with it, simply do an Alt-F4.
Alt-F4, exploring-c:\JFW30\checknotes\anu, list view text file bns.txt, pkb text document 2/12/95, 12:34 p.m., 6:54.
And I land right back in the list view on the file that I was on when I had pressed Enter and went into Notepad there. Also, I noticed that when I landed back in the Windows Explorer and it read the title line for the application, I was able to hear the path. I'm going to take my JAWS cursor and go up on that title line and take a closer look at this to show you how this works.
Root JAWS to PC.
Root JAWS to PC, bring it inside my app, do a page up.
Page up.
And a home.
Home.
And now we'll read across this a word at a time. Do a say word.
Exploring. Dash. C:\JFW30\checknotes\anu.
Okay, so when we were in the options dialog box and we said to display the full MS-DOS path in the title line, that's why this is up here. So it was very easy for me when I came back to Windows Explorer, not only to know what file I was on, but I automatically heard the path for that file. So I can stay oriented as to where I am in the directory structure. I'm going to turn my PC cursor back on by hitting the plus key.
PC cursor.
And tab back over to the tree view.
Tab, tree view, folder anew.
And I'm going to just go through the process of closing these folders now and moving back up the directory levels to JFW30. Now, there's a couple of ways to do this. We can hit the backspace, which moves you back a level at a time. Let's do it that way first. The first time I hit backspace,
check notes.
I moved back from ENU to Tech Notes. That was one level above. Remember, ENU fell underneath Tech Notes. The next time I hit backspace,
JFW30.
I land all the way back to JFW30 because Tech Notes was directly under that. Now, there were other folders under it, help, manuals, and settings that we had gone through to get the Tech Notes, but I didn't have to go back over those. And when I hit the backspace, it did not close those directories or those folders either. They were not collapsed or closed. But if I hit a left arrow now, well, first, let me do a say line.
Folder JFW30 open.
It's still open. If I hit a left arrow, it will just collapse those directories.
JFW30.
And now a say line.
Folder JFW30 closed.
And it closed the directory. So now if I were to hit a down arrow, I will go to the next folder at this level instead of going into the folders underneath JFW30. This takes some practice. Move around through these lists, open up a directory, and look underneath it and see what's there. Test your tree view level. Insert F1, remember, that'll tell you what level you're at in the structure. And you can, you know, with a little practice, get pretty good at figuring out exactly where you are and knowing how to move around. We'll end this section here and come back and talk about cut, copy, and paste after we've selected some files or doing it with an entire directory. Now, Windows Explorer gives us a very powerful tool to be able to move files around, either delete them, copy them to another directory in your computer, or put them out to a diskette. You can also do this with folders and complete folders. You can grab an entire folder with every sub-directory or folder underneath it along with all their files. And simply using the clipboard, Windows cut, copy, and paste commands, you can do this. So let's go through and see an example of it. I'm first going to go back into this JFW30, go back into TechNotes where there are a bunch of text files, and we'll do something with that.
Folder JFW30 closed.
So I will open up folder JFW30. I'm in the tree view, so I hit a right arrow to open it.
JFW30.
And I'll hit a T for TechNotes.
T, TechNotes.
And then
folder TechNotes open.
It's still open because I hadn't closed it before. So directly under TechNotes, I'll find ENU.
Folder Edu.
There it is. Hit Tab and go to my list.
Tab. List view. Not selected. Text file accent.txt. APB text document 1/24/956.
And I silenced it by hitting the Control key. Now, we're going to look at four different options for selecting files in this particular directory right out of this list. The first one we'll look at is to select one file to be copied. In order to do that, find the file we want. Let's go to that Braille and Speak one. I hit B.
BNS.txt.
It is now a selected file. If we want to move that one someplace, we have it now. We can just do a Control C.
Copy selected text to clipboard.
And this file has actually been marked to be moved somewhere else now. It's going to leave it where it's sitting, but I can go to another directory and paste it there. Another thing we might want to try and do is take two or three files and move them all at the same time. If they are contiguous, in other words, there are no files in between the ones on the list, there are three in a row we want to get, the way we handle that is by holding down the Shift key. First of all, get to the file, the first one you want to get, and we're on
bns.txt.
I'll hold down the Shift key here and press down arrow. Just like in a word processing program, we could select a line at a time. That's essentially what we're going to do here, select a file at a time, and it will keep the file, the previous file selected.
Select line, bns.txt, berlin.txt.
Those two are both selected.
Select line, berlin.txt, calc.txt.
And now we've selected calc.txt as well. To confirm the three files that I have selected, I can do my say all selected text. To do that, we do a shift with the say all command. Shift insert down arrow.
Selected text is bns.txt, berlin.txt, calc.txt.
And we've got those three files. Now at this point, we can copy those three files to the clipboard, move to another directory or folder, and paste them there. Okay, so that was one file and then three contiguous files. Now how about if we select three files that are not contiguous? I'm going to hit up arrow.
Berlin.txt, bns.txt.
I'm back on the bns.txt. We'll select this file. We'll skip the one after it, get the calc.txt file. Then we'll leave another blank file underneath we won't take, and then one after that. So to begin with, I'm on bns.txt. going to hold down my control key and press a down arrow.
BNS.txt, not selected text file, boolean.txt, 5KB text document 6/10/97506M.
What happened is it left the BNS.txt as a highlighted object because it was highlighted when I was sitting on it. And by holding the control key down and moving away, it said move to the next file or item in this list, but don't put a selection around it. Just move to it. So this item that I'm on right now, brlwin.txt, is not highlighted. And I don't want to get this one, so I'll do another control down arrow. Now, I'm not letting go of the control key during any of this process so far.
Not selected text file count.txt 10KB text document 6/6/90.
Now, I lifted the control key up and pushed it back down just to silence it. But now, while I'm holding it down, I'm going to press the space bar.
Calc.txt.
And it highlighted calc.txt. And I will leave the control key depressed and press down arrow again.
Calc.txt, not selected text file config.txt 32KB text document 6/13.
I lifted it up and put it back down to silence it. I'm sitting on config.txt, and it's not selected. And I'm going to do another control down arrow to move past this one.
Not selected text file contents.txt 4KB text documents.
And again, I lifted up control and push it back down right there to silence it. Now, hit the space bar.
Contents.txt.
So, I have selected three files, but I've left a blank file in between. And if I do a say all highlighted text, shift insert down.
Selected text is bns.txt, calc.txt, contents.txt.
All right, so I've got three files, but there are also blank files in between them. So that's non-contiguous. Finally, the last item I want to show you on selecting these files would be to select all of the files in the list. In order to do that, I'm going to press an up arrow, first of all, which will lift the highlight from these three files that I'm on.
Config.txt.
And now config.txt is the only one highlighted. I'm going to do a control A for all.
Control A, accent.txt, accents.txt, alba.txt, alba215.txt, ab.txt, bns.txt, boolean.txt, calc.txt.
And I silenced it. See, when they all got highlighted, they all started reading. Because it's highlighted text, JAWS thinks it should be reading that. So it's automatically reading every file that just got selected. I was in config.txt, but it actually highlighted every file in this list, including the ones above it. So control A is a select all. There is also a way to select from the file you're on to the end and from the file you're on to the top. I won't go into those. It's very similar to selecting text. But I gave you four pretty decent examples there. You can select a single file, contiguous, non-contiguous, or just select them all. Now that's files. I'm going to press an up arrow to lift the selection or to lift the highlight off of all these files.
Calc.txt.
And I'm going to tab to the tree view.
Tab, tree view, folder.
Another way of getting a hold of all those files underneath ENU, instead of moving in there and selecting them all, is if I'm in the tree view and on ENU, just do a control C.
Copy selected text to clipboard.
Now I've got ENU, the directory, along with all its files in the clipboard or being saved now to be pasted someplace else. I'm going to make a new folder and paste them in there. First thing I want to do is move back up to C. I don't want to put this folder inside ENU. So I'll hit a backspace.
Check notes.
Backspace again.
KFW30. Left paren, C colon, right paren.
And here's the C drive. And let's just make up a file folder here. You can make anything you want, and this will be something we're going to delete as soon as we're done. So to make a new folder on the C drive, if you were coming from DOS, think of this as make directory. In order to do that, I go to the file menu, Alt-F.
Alt-F, menu active, file, new submenu.
And I choose new.
Enter, menu bar, menu active, folder.
And it's going to be a folder.
Enter, leaving menus, edit, new folder.
And we actually land in the list view underneath C, and a new folder item is actually placed in this list view, and that's the name that it's given, new folder. But it also turns this new folder, the name of this folder, into an edit field so we can just type something over it. And in this case, I'm just going to type in my name,
E-R-I-C.
Eric, and press enter.
Enter. List view selected folder Eric file folder 9/5/97/127pm32m32.
Okay, so now there's 32 items under my C, and this is the last one. So it's the last thing in the list view under C is this new file folder called Eric. I'll hit the tab key.
Tab, three view, left paren, C colon, right paren, open.
And I went right back to C, and this is open. So if I hit the letter E in my tree view, I should be able to move to this Eric folder.
Eric.
There it is. And there is nothing in it. If I do a say line,
folder Eric,
it doesn't say that it's open or closed. Remember, this is just a brand new folder I created. There's nothing in it. Now, I'm going to paste that ENU that Windows still remembers is in the clipboard because it's the last thing I put there. When I do a Control V,
paste a text from clipboard exploring dash e colon backslash Eric, three view folder Eric closed.
Eric is now a folder, but it's closed because it realizes now that there's a new folder underneath it. If I open up Eric with a right arrow,
Eric,
and press down arrow,
folder Anu.
There it is, there's Anu. And if I hit the tab key here,
tab, list view, not selected, text file accent, dot txt, akb, text document 1/24/95/623m.
And I silenced it. So, here's all the text files that were in that ENU that we were working with under the JFW3O directory, and they are now in a folder called ENU underneath a new folder I created called Eric. Let's go get rid of this folder and see the process of doing that.
Tab, three view, folder, Anu.
And I will hit a backspace.
Eric.
And I'm sitting on Eric. Now, I want to get rid of it. All I have to do here is press the delete key.
Confirm folder delete dialog. Are you sure you want to remove the folder apostrophe Eric apostrophe and move all its contents to the recycle bin question? Yes button.
And this is what I want to do. Notice it said it's going to put it in the recycle bin. We haven't talked about that. That's a another place in Windows where deleted items are kept so that if you delete something by mistake, you can go get it from the recycle bin. If you were to do the delete key with while holding down the shift key, it would not put them in the recycle bin. It would just let you completely delete them so they wouldn't be saved. But I'll let this go to the recycle bin.
Enter. Three view, folder Eric open, JFW30.
Okay, the last thing I want to cover for Windows Explorer, and this is a very complex program and very powerful program, and you should spend some time in here and work with it and practice with it. I think once you have used it for a while, you'll get very comfortable. The last thing I want to cover with you and show you how we do it is putting something on a floppy disk from Windows Explorer. So let's start by going down into Tech Notes and ENU again and see where all those text files were. I'm in the tree view right now. Press J.
JFW30.
And there it is. And
folder JFW30 open.
It's open, so when I press down arrow, I'll move down into Tech Notes.
Folder L closed. Folder Manuals closed. Folder Settings closed. Folder Tech Notes open.
Tech Notes is open, so ENU will be below it.
Folder Anu.
There it is. And when I hit tab.
Tab. List view not selected text file accent dot txt akb text document 1/24/95/623m 1/54.
1/54. Let's say I want to take this information and put it on a floppy. I want to get all these files and put them on a floppy disk. The first thing is it going to fit? Well, we have status lines in many programs, and this is no exception. Let's look at this status line and see what it says.
54 object left paren s right paren 314 KB left paren disk free space colon 2.12 GB right paren.
Okay, so there's 51 objects in the list that I'm in, and it's 314 KB, which will easily fit on a 3.5-inch floppy disk. Let's take another look at the status line after I've done one thing, though. I'm going to select about 3 or 4 files here and then read the status line.
Select line, select line, select line, ALDA.txt, ALDA250.
Okay, I selected about 4 objects here. I'm going to read the status line.
4 object left paren, S right paren, selected 15.6 KB.
Notice how the status line gets updated. It keeps track of exactly what I'm doing and knows how many files I've selected and how much disk space they're going to take. So let's just copy these four files to a floppy disk. I've put a blank disk into the A drive on my computer, and I'm going to just go to the menu bar with an Alt-F.
Alt-F, menu active, file open.
Choose Send To. That's one of the choices in the list. Hit down arrow and you'll find it.
Print. Quick view. Send to.
Send to. Press Enter.
Enter. 3.5 floppy left parent, A right parent.
And it's the 3.5 and it knows it's an A drive. I press Enter.
Enter. Leaving menus. Copying .. dialog. Cancel button. List view text file audit 215.txt 2kb text document 6/12/97520.
I hit the control key. As soon as I landed back in the list view, it was done. And I could hear the floppy drive activated and receiving the files, and it came up and said it was copying things. Had I turned my screen echo to all, I'd have heard even more information as it was doing the copy if I wanted to, but that's a little bit about how you can throw something onto a floppy disk real quick. There's another way to do it. If you just copy these selected files to the clipboard.
Copy selected text to clipboard.
And go back to your tree view.
Tab, tree view, folder, edit.
And then I'll hit backspace till I get back up to the C drive.
Check notes. JFW30. Left parent, C colon, right parent.
And if I press an up arrow.
3.5 floppy left parent, A colon, right parent, closed.
There it is. It's right here in my tree view. So now I could just do a control V and paste it. So there's a couple of different ways to put things on a floppy right here in Windows Explorer. This is the end of basic training tape number 3, side 1. Please fast forward the tape for side 2.